Oh, no.
Brandela, he's not on yet.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're starting with Psalm 18 at verse 26. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. We're on the handout for the Yearning for Redemption PDF file. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ahino Amadunai Eloheinu Elena Maasei Adenu Konene Elena Maasei Adenu Konenehu Im chasid pit chasad, im gevar taimim, te tamam. O God, with one who goes beyond the call of duty to serve you, go beyond the call of duty. With a man who serves you with virtue, aid him in becoming more virtuous. There are seven words connecting to the seven lower sephirot, connecting to the 7 days of the week. Connecting to the seven continents. The reason I've mentioned all three of those sevens is to remind us that there are the three levels of time, space, and consciousness. The 27th pasuk. Im navar tit parar ve'im ikesh tit patal. With one who strives for the highest purity of character, aid him in attaining purity. But with one who is defiant, act to prevent him from attaining his goals. Six words connecting to Zeranpin, connecting to spirituality. And within spirituality, you have these two separations, the right column and the left column. They're not unified as they are in this world. They're not confusing as they are in this world. And you see that in this verse, where one, it's talking about striving for highest purity, which would be the right column, and one who is defiant, the left column. But actually, the purity is the left column, so it's the right column of the left column. Please do not be confused by this language. Realize that in each column there is both right and left of that attribute. The 28th verse. Ki ata amani toshia ve'enayim ramot tashpil. For you save the downtrodden people, while those with haughty eyes you bring low. What is the meaning of haughty eyes? People who think of themselves smart, people who think of themselves as the smartest person in the room. That's the meaning to me. There are 8 words in this verse connecting to Bina, connecting to the world that is coming, connecting to being above the physical world. The 29th verse. Ki ata tair neiri Adonai Ohewahe Elohayagiha Tashki. For you illuminate my lamp, Hashem my Hashem, you brighten my darkness. Again, we have 8 words. Why would we have 8 words twice in a row?
Ruby.
What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that? Are we talking about the right column of Bina and the left column of Bina? There are 28 letters in verse 29, which is the word koach, which means power and strength. In verse 28, there are 30 letters in verse 28. 30 represents teaching. It represents an aspect of sharing. So you see that these two columns that both connect to Bina, these two verses that both connect to Bina, one is the right column of Bina, that would be the 28, with connecting with 30 letters to the Lamed, and the 28 letters in verse 29 that connects to power and strength, which is our attributes of the left column. Verse 30. Ki vecha arutz gedud uvelohai adaleg shor. With you, your help, I can run against an entire troop. With my Hashem, I hurdle their defensive wall. Seven words brings us back to the level of the physicality. And you can see the essence of the message. It's talking about conflict. Binding by striking. There are 24 letters connecting to again, physicality, the 12 hours of the day and the 12 hours of the night. The 12 hours of the right column and the 12 hours of the left column. Back to the third person, starting with verse 31. Ha'el tamim darko imrat Adonayo hewahe Terufa magen hulikol achosim bo. The Almighty Hashem, His way is perfect. Hashem's word is pure. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Eleven words connects to the all of creation through the ten sephirot and the negative system. There are 40 letters connecting to the level of Chesed. How does the 40 letters connect to the level of Chesed? The 40 is the gematria of the letter Mem, which connects to water. And water is connected to Chesed. Verse 32. Ki mi Eloha mi balade Adonai Yohewahe umi tzur zulati Eloheinu. For who is God besides Hashem, the Eternal? And who is Creator besides our Lord? I would disagree with the translation of Eloheinu as Lord, because Eloheinu is it's the new at the end is the plural we, and the Elohe would be Elohim if it had the mem, but they drop the mem when they add the ending nu. So I would have translated as our Elohim. Verse 33. Ha'el ha'mazreni ha'yil va'yiten tamim darki. He is El, the loving God. At times he girds me with strength to overcome all obstacles. At other times he smooths my path by removing all stumbling blocks before me. This is a verse that makes perfect sense. Hashem is sometimes one way and sometimes another. Sometimes we need the stumbling blocks removed. Sometimes we need the strength to overcome them. Verse 34. Meshaver raglai ka'ayalot u'al bamotai ya'amideni. He makes my legs run straight and fast like mountain stags, roes and bucks, and allows me to stand, maintain my position in the high places that I have already attained or that I aspire to attain. Is there a difference between attaining something or wanting to attain something. And this is an important spiritual teaching. Is the beginning important or is the end important? Is the beginning and the end the same thing? If this is true, then just thinking about something, thinking you're going to attain, you're going to be a business tycoon, or you're going to be the king, or you're going to be important, just thinking about these goals means that you attain them. And that is what Kabbalah implies. Yet at the same time, Kabbalah says the action is important. The process is important. Because the process isn't to reach the goal. It's to enjoy the process. And this verse is asking us to realize that it isn't about the goal. Actually, this translation by Rabbi Sutton is what's asking us to understand this immense issue regarding the process rather than the goal. Verse 35. Melamed yadai la milchama benichata keshet nechusha zerotai. He trains my hands in warfare and infuses my arms with superhuman strength to bend or to lower the bronze bow. What is the metaphor of a bronze bow? What is the meaning of that? What is that telling us? Yes, we need to be at war with the negative system in order to not be falling into the consciousness of the Western world, the consciousness of the limitations. But what is the idea of a bronze bow? In earlier generations, bronze was a metal, is a metal even today. But we don't think of it in terms of a strong metal like steel. Bronze is flexible, but it's not. So what is really being expressed here? And because we are so far from those beginning times that we're so involved with technology, we don't understand this verse. I don't understand this verse. Verse 36. Watiten li ma'agen yishecha v'minecha tisadeni. You have given me your salvation as a shield. Your right hand of loving kindness has been my support. And your humility, the humility you have allowed me to emulate, or the fact that you condescend to take notice of me, has increased me, has made me great. Eight words that brings us back to Bina, out of the physicality into the world that is coming. We always have to remember the world that is coming is in this physical world, because the world that is coming represents heaven on earth. It represents the elimination of conflict. It represents serenity and peace and all those things that we desire and that we talk about, but that we're too afraid to really make happen. The 37th verse. Tarki zotzadi tachtai velo ma'adu. Tarsulai. In life as in war, you have widened my stride beneath me, given me stability in the midst of adversity. My feet have therefore never slipped, even during the most trying of times. King David could say this because he was always connected to Hashem. But how many of us can say this? Because we do slip. So by saying this verse, are we saying a lie? No. We're expressing a hope that we will never slip again. 38. Erdofo yevai vayasi gen velo ashuv ad kalotam. With your help I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, not turning back until I have demolished them. Seven words, back to the physical. You see how we go back and forth between the physical and the spiritual? This is what our job is in this world. To bring the spiritual down to the physical. But in order to do that, we have to rise to the spiritual and then return to the physical. And in so doing, we bring the world that is coming. Verse 39. Em chatzem velo yuklu kum yiplu tachat draglai. With your help I strike them so that they may never rise up again until they fall and are subdued between my feet. Again, we have seven words connecting, remaining in the physical. But what is the difference? Count the letters and you'll see. Verse 40. Vatazreini chayil amilchama hach briyakamai tachtai. You have girded my loins with superhuman strength for battle. You have subdued those who have stood up against me to destroy me. Six words bringing us back to the spiritual. 41.
Donna speaking.
Please mute the phone.
Okay.
Well, oh, vai natata liyoref umsanai atzmitem. Due to your intervention, my enemies have all turned and fled before me, With your help, I have paralyzed those who hate me. Remaining in the spiritual, but we go from spiritual to spiritual, physical to physical. Count the letters and you'll realize that, one is left column and one is right column. Verse 41. Vayevai natata liorech samayai atzmitem. Due to your intervention, my enemies have all turned and fled before me. With your help, I have paralyzed those who hate me. I apologize, I read that before. Verse 42, we're now returning to the third person. Yeshav v'shav v'ein boshia al Adonai Yohe wahe willo anam. They, my enemies, cry out to their fellows and to their gods, but no one comes to save them. Even when they cry out to Hashem, he does not answer them. We're in the physical still, or returning to the physical. Verse 43. Actually, the comment more on verse 42. Who would cry out to Hashem? Someone who has consciousness of one God. Can that person be an enemy of you? Of me? Satan uses the tools he has available, and they are other human beings. Hashem uses the tools, and they are also other human beings. Your enemy can be a human being in the sense that he is a channel for Satan, and yet he will pray. His consciousness is with one God. But as the verse says, Hashem does not answer him. Verse 42. No, we just did 42. Verse 43. V'yeshcha ken ka'afar al p'nei ruach ketit hutzot arikem. With his help, I grind them as fine dust to be carried by the wind. Like muddy sludge, I cast them out. Eight words. The verse is talking about separating, purifying. And that relates to the world that is coming. Starting with verse 44, Rabbi Sutton tells us that David is referring here to the messianic future. Tifalteni me rive am tisimeni Lirushkoim am lo yadati avduni. Hashem, you have rescued me from the enemies among my people. You have placed me, Israel, at the head of the nations, the rulers of a people I never knew. Now serve me. You can see how this verse is clearly speaking about Mashiach ben David. David is saying, because Mashiach ben David is going to be an aspect of the soul of David. And these are people I never knew, meaning people from other generations. Because not everybody lived at the time of King David. The reason that Purim, which is shortly going to be upon us, was a time of Mashiach, but Mashiach didn't manifest, was because not everybody was in the world. Everyone has to complete their tikkun in order for Mashiach to manifest. That's why in our generation, every soul is in the world. Some with a few things to correct, some with many things to correct. But all the souls are here. They have to be here. They have to be here in order for Mashiach to manifest. Verse 45, and there's an interesting statement by Rabbi Sutton just before it. Mashiach ben David will not have to fight physical wars. L'shema ozen yishamu li b'nei nekar yikach ha'shuli. Just hearing about me, they are obedient to me. Strangers cringe before me. Is this an explanation for why the Old Testament is included in the New Testament? Is this an indication of why the evangelicals are supporting the modern state of Israel? I don't have answers to these questions I've asked. But I see how this verse does relate to not having to fight a physical war. And that is what I know will happen. But it's also my hope that it will happen. 46. B'nei nekar yibolu v'yachregu mimiskerotehem. Strangers wither, they faint from fear, they tremble in their strongholds. The whole world thinks that America has the strongest military. They won't confront America because of that image, but they will fight around the edges. They will do it surreptitiously. Is it a physical war? America was attacked by the Russians through their technology. Is there a physical war? In certain parts of the world, there are wars. People are fearful of wars. But here we are being told it does not have to happen and it will not happen. Verse 47. Chai Adonai Yohei Wahei Uvaruch Tzuri V'yarum Elohei Yishi. Hashem is alive, blessed is my rock, exalted is the God of my salvation. A little, it wouldn't ring right in English, but the second to the last word, Elohai, or Elohei, is Elohim with a yud at the end, meaning the word my. It's a possessive personal pronoun, my. And then Yishi has the connection to the word salvation, but it's being translated as my salvation, whereas Elohei is being translated as the God. And again, I would translate it as my Elohim. But in English, that wouldn't flow right. Exalted is my Elohim of my salvation. But it makes perfect sense, even if it doesn't flow right in English. Because Elohim refers to angelic beings. Each angelic being that is put in charge of one of the nations, it's the Sanhedrin of the spiritual worlds. So who is my salvation? Who is my Elohim? What nation do you live in? The angelic leader of that nation is providing your sustenance. Of course, Hashem provides that sustenance and requires that Elohim to share it with his Jewish children in that nation. But still, the flow comes through that Elohim. The 48th verse. Ha'el ha'noten nekamot li v'yadber amim tachtai. He is El, the Almighty God. He avenges me. He avenges all the suffering Israel has suffered at their hands. He subdues nations who rebelled against him beneath me. El is a God that is connected to the Sephirah of Chesed, of loving kindness. You wouldn't think that he would need to be fighting a war in order to avenge. Guilt creates revenge in a certain level of consciousness. Mashiach will still have to fight Arnilus. That's verse 49 as we get into it. If you've not heard of Armulus, let's find out. Mipalti meovai af min kamai teromimeni meish chamas katsileni. He will rescue me from my internal enemies and elevate me above those who stand up against me. He will save me from a man of violence. The word Hamas, the second word from the end in Hebrew. You've heard of Hamas. It's a group supported by Iran, living and working in the southern borders of Lebanon and Syria. Hamas is a Hebrew word that means violence, means chaos. It has a lot of other connotations. Who is Armalus? A man of violence. A man who looks for conflict. Does that remind you of something or someone in our modern generation? The second person, verse 50. Alkeino decha bagoyim adonai ohewahe. I will therefore thank you in the midst of the nations, Hashem. I will sing, I will chant to raise up your name. Seven words connecting to the physical world. There are 27 letters connecting to all of the energy of the Hebrew alphabet when you include the final forms of the five final letters. Verse 51, the third person. Ma'adil Yeshuot. Malko viose chesed limshicho leDavid uzaro adolam. He grants multiple victories and deliverances to his king. He shows kindness to his anointed Mashiach, to David, and to his descendants forever. Footnote 36. Magdil. He grants multiple deliverances to his king. He shows kindness to his anointed Mashiach, to David, and to his descendants forever. For one slight difference. Migdol. He is a tower of salvation for his king. He shows kindness to his anointed Mashiach, to David and to his descendants forever. Whereas the written form of the first word is almost the same in both cases, in our verse, Magdil is written Mem Gimel Dalet Lamed, without the letter Yud. In Samuel, it is written Migdil, with a yud. Nevertheless, in our verse, it is pronounced Magdil, while in Samuel, it is changed altogether and pronounced Migdol. What is the difference between Magdil and Migdol? According to the Midrash, the difference is between a process that leads to an endpoint and the actual endpoint. One verse says Migdol and the other verse says Magdil. Rabbi Yudin explained, the root of the word Magdil is Gadal, meaning to become great, to grow in stages. The verse thus says Magdil, because the redemption will not come to this nation, Israel, in one instant. Rather, it will unfold ever so slowly. This is the meaning of Magdil, namely, that the redemption will grow and unfold for Israel. This is why the redemption is likened to dawn. And scroll down all the way to the bottom, where it says, the verse attests your light will then shine like the dawn. And what is Migdol? Similar to Migdal, Migdol represents the end of the process, when the Mashiach will reach his full stature and become a tower of strength for his people. We see this in another verse. Hashem's name is a tower of strength. With it, the righteous man will run and become elevated above his enemies. We have to ask ourselves a question about this last verse. What is the difference between the end of the process and the final goal? I don't have an answer to that question. Whenever I've said the Berkat Hamazon at the end, this word Migdol and Migdil is said at the, near the last, it's the beginning of the last paragraph in the Berkat Hamazon. At least I believe it is. It may be a different, no, it's that word. I have never understood why we say one on Shabbat and one during the week. Why the difference? It's the same question. What is the difference between the end of the process and the final goal? We know that when you have a goal and you achieve that goal, now it's time to create a new goal. When you love the process, it doesn't matter whether you achieve the goal or not. One thought that I'm having just now is that when you are at the end of the process that you love, you have to transition to that point where the goal becomes important. And that to me right now is what the difference is. And I know someone wanted to say something, so please go ahead.
It's Hannah. I was reminded with the words of endpoint that that's one of the meanings of Niketz. You know, the Torah portion that we read before Hanukkah.
Yes.
And I didn't find that definition till many years later, you know, after knowing the other definitions. Let's say probably in the last 5 years. So maybe there's a connection. Well, a connection there too.
What? How are you defining Niketz?
One of the definitions is endpoint. Let me see what the other definition is. I think that's the tenth. Yes. Okay. It means at the end of, an end, final point, and it also means cut off.
Similar ideas to what we are expressing. Thank you.
Yes, okay. I'm going to mute again.
Okay. So we have completed Psalm 18, except for us going back through the Hebrew, which will take us most of the next class on Monday. So does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow is Shabbat, Shabbat Beshalach, and the revelation of the 72 names, both sets. Our Havdalah ritual, community ritual, will be at 6 p.m. At 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Yitro. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue our preparation for Tu Bishvat. And at 3 o'clock, we will be continuing our class on advanced reincarnation. Monday morning at 7 a.m., we will complete Psalm 18, and depending on timing, we may start 19, but more than likely not. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Shabbat Beshalach. Remember, Beshalach means to send out, to send forth. And in one sense, Beshalach has the meaning of sending forth the 72 names. Shalom to all. Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful Sabbath.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom. Thanks.
Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.